T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're broadcasting live from Gillette Stadium. Jonathan Kraft, investor operator of the New England Revolution, is with us as part of our owners series. We are sitting in arguably, if not the nicest facility in the NFL, one of the handful of nicest. I mean, it's a spectacular place.
Still haven't seen Seattle's place yet. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Looks good on TV.
I said one of the handful.
Where's?
Oh, we can turn that. There we go.
Turn my mic on. It looks good on TV. It looks good on TV. Obviously, it was. It looks good on TV.
Well, and
how about Invesco Field?
Well, here was the point I was going to make, okay? It is a great NFL facility. I don't think it's a great MLS facility. You have to block off large portions of the stadium for normal events. What are the possibilities that we're going to see a Home Depot Center type of soccer-only facility in the Boston area?
It's not great for soccer, and one of the cool things about a soccer match when you're there, especially if you go to Europe and see one, or now you go to one of the soccer-only stadiums in America, and we've got 8 of them now open, and it'll be 9 soon, so most of the teams are in them now, but it's a totally different feeling and a different atmosphere. I think about it like this: when you go to an arena for a Celtics game or a Bruins game or an NBA and NHL game, you've got 17, 18, 19,000 people there, and you feel like you're somewhere. You have that here at Gillette Stadium, and you're looking over at the sea of blocked-off seats. You don't get that same feeling. The guys in the fort are our fan club, who are our most ardent supporters, who sit in the end zone. They created in that end zone atmosphere. But to really experience soccer, we should have a 20,000 or so soccer-specific stadium. And just things, as everyone knows, in Massachusetts happen a little slower, but we're working on it. We have some people that have been very helpful, and hopefully we'll have something exciting to announce in the not-too-distant future. But we're working on it, and we do want to accomplish that for our fans, because the day it happens, you've really created something special.
Will the return of the Breakers, and that's a year from now, will that give you an opportunity to maybe share a facility, a soccer-only type facility in the future?
Well, we'd be happy. It's a good question, because obviously the more dates you can put through it, the better it is. And we would absolutely. Gary Loveman, who's the lead investor who's buying it, is a real good friend of ours. And you know, we talked to Gary about anything, and if that made sense to Gary and we had one, we'd absolutely welcome them playing there. But that would make sense. You'd put some you'd probably bring some cool international matches too. When you can do it in a city, somewhere in the city environment or where you have public transportation, you can start to do other matches between ethnic teams, like an El Salvador versus a Guatemala, or just to make up names, where a lot of people live in the city or in the surrounding area. They don't have cars, but they do have access to public transportation. So you could start to do matches like that, which would also be fun. And really, it really adds a unique sense of vibrancy. They're doing that in L.A. at the Home Depot Center all the time, and it's become a really great community asset. And then you can do lots of other events. You can hold Pop Warner championships and the high school championships in a stadium like that, too, and not have it feel ridiculous from a size perspective.
I think you just answered my next question. Ideally, this soccer-only stadium would be in the city?
Well, I don't know that it would be directly in the city. We've had some nice conversations with the people in the city, and I think they know that we're interested. But it could be somewhere closer to Boston, so that you had the public transportation infrastructure and the density that comes from being in and around the city. And that's probably where we're focused. But a number of other people, we've been approached by a number of towns who we're talking to, and we don't want to make this a big public thing, which is why you don't hear about it. We've been there and done it, as you referred to at the start. When we have something that makes sense, and people want it, and everyone feels good about it, we'll talk about it. But we are, Brian Bolello, who is the COO of the Revolution, is spending a lot of time actively working on it. And some of the guys in our construction group that built Gillette Stadium and are building Patriot Place, the only thing they're taking time away from is looking at different options, the different options that have been presented to us.
One of the questions that an emailer wanted me to ask you was concerning international soccer. Now, we've heard rumors about the Kraft Group being interested in investing in major international soccer. Is there any truth to that? Is that going to happen someday?
We came very close, I guess, two Decembers ago to doing something with Liverpool, which is the team that George Gillette from the Canadians and Tom Hicks down from the Texas Rangers and the Stars down in Dallas, they teamed up in partnership and bought Liverpool a couple of months ago. We looked very seriously at it. It was a classic case, a great town that supports their team passionately. They needed a new stadium. They had been having problems figuring out how to do it and get it done, and it had some similarities to the Patriots. And at the last minute, we decided not to do it, just that the time wasn't right for us, given everything else on our plate. And so we've continued to stay abreast of what's going on, and someday it could happen. We'd always look at interesting things that came across our plate. It's soccer over in Europe is what the NFL is here, except it's the NFL is a North American phenomenon that we are trying to bring to other parts of the world. The Premiership, and in particular also Serie A and the Bundesliga, are phenomenons around most of the world where people know what's going on and follow it. So it's a cool thing to be involved with.
A couple times today you've mentioned the wealth of soccer talent in the United States. Tell us about the league's youth development initiative. How does that work?
Well, we have so many programs, and I think to take it to an even higher level, the president of the U.S. Soccer Federation now, the way soccer works around the world, everyone in America has probably heard of something called FIFA. And FIFA governs virtually all of soccer, and the World Cup is sponsored by FIFA, which is kind of like the IOCC, which everyone knows, the International Olympic Committee, Organizing Committee, or whatever it's called. And FIFA governs soccer. And if you want to play in the World Cup, if you as a player want to play in the World Cup, effectively you can only be in FIFA-sanctioned leagues. So all of the major leagues around the world are FIFA-sanctioned. It's institution that is more than 100 years old. And in the U.S., the arm of FIFA, the federation which reports up to FIFA, is the U.S. Soccer Federation, and they govern amateur youth and professional soccer in this country. And the president of that organization is a gentleman named Sunil Gulati, who's actually the president of Kraft Soccer, as well as being a professor at Columbia. So he's an all-around interesting person. And because Sunil, unlike the other U.S. soccer presidents, has come with a knowledge and an understanding of MLS and a knowledge and a desire to see the U.S. win the World Cup eventually, we are taking some of the Federation's youth programs and merging them in with MLS to create an even stronger feeder system so that young kids who show talent, if they decide that they want to come and give a shot at professional soccer, so that they start training full-time and give up college and give up other educational opportunities. If they choose to do that and then soccer doesn't work out for them at any point in their life, if they want to go back to college, they can. And the Federation and MLS will help pay for that. And that's really it, because we got to get these kids. The rest of the world is taking kids at 14, 15, 16, even younger. That's a little too young for this country, but taking them even younger and just putting them full-time into soccer development. We feel we have programs that do that here. You obviously have to go to school through high school. But we then will make it easy for you to make that decision without feel like you're giving up your opportunity for an education. And hopefully that, coupled with the chance to play on an MLS team or one of the developmental squads at your earlier phase, gets you into that high end of competitive soccer quicker, which ultimately gives us a better pool to choose for the national team and a chance to compete for the World Cup.
One of the highlights of my professional career, in all seriousness, was working at what was then Foxborough Stadium in 1994 for the six World Cup games that were here. 2010, it's in South Africa. at what point can the United States get the World Cup back? Because I think it's critical.
I think you'll see it in 14 or 18, and that's another big thing. I have no inside knowledge, and I don't know, but the soccer establishment in this country is very focused on having the World Cup back here by 2014 or 2018 at the latest. And this was a very successful – the 94 World Cup was extremely successful for FIFA. We have the ability to make it the most successful from a financial and an exposure perspective. And if you're FIFA, you want the game in the U.S. to rise to the level that it is in the other countries because it's just more money. And, you know, FIFA is just like the IOCC. At the end of the day, that's what it's about, and becoming strong and financially strong and having sponsors that are interested. And the more interest and excitement that it has in the United States and North America in particular, the better it is. This market still drives everything globally related to sports when you talk about international competitions. It's why GE and NBC just dictate to the Olympics what ultimately goes on there, because other people around the world pay money to cover those games, but nothing remotely close to what NBC pays.
So we heard last year that the United States had a chance in the World Cup, and it didn't work out that way. And you're saying today that it's going to happen, or that the U.S. will be competitors, or very competitive. What's the difference now? What's going to change from the past, you know?
Well, the only thing I'd point out about last year is Italy, the ultimate champion, only had a draw or a loss to one team, and that was the United States. And yeah, we played a man down in that game. We played a man down, didn't we, for a while at the end of that game? So the U.S. was on the field with the eventual champion and got a draw in a game that mattered. So I think that says something. I don't think that could have happened two World Cups ago. We got a good draw and we got lucky. But in the past, that wouldn't have been likely to happen. More and more kids, especially kids from the city, just being really blunt about it, kids who have great athletic skill, kids who are going to be linemen in football can't play soccer, but kids that are going to be great point guards in basketball or maybe great shortstops, those same kids could play soccer. And the idea is letting them know that there is an outlet for them as athletes, that they can have a professional career that's rewarding on the field and financially. And if people see that, and I think there are more and more examples of it, Clint Dempsey, who's now in Europe, we talked about him earlier, came from a very, a less than comfortable background in Texas, and came out of the city and wanted to be a soccer player. And he's now lived his dream. There are a lot of other kids like that, and the more we can attract kids like that to this game rather than some of the other games, the better off we're going to be.
We will conclude our owner series tomorrow with your dad, and we'll talk football.
Oh, so you haven't talked to him yet.
We'll talk to him tomorrow.
I assumed you had.
No, and that'll be tomorrow. We would be remiss, however, if we did not express our condolences, obviously, to Marquise's family, but to the Patriots family as well. I know this has been a very tough week for you guys.
Yeah, it has. You hate to see anybody obviously lose their life at such a young age. And the thing about him, and it gets a lot of press because he is a Patriot, but when you see somebody who's a quality individual, just a really nice person, a substantive person that cared about other people, and was just a good guy, irregardless of whether he was a football player or not. And he was a backup. I don't think the thing that's been nice about all the attention, I think, is because I think people are learning about what he was about as a person. They didn't know it because he wasn't on the field and playing every down, but a really, really nice, special person who, and this is just a horrible tragedy, both because of what he still had in front of him, and because he has a young child and a mother, and his mother is still alive and a young lady, and he had a fiance, and you just look at it, and it's really sad, and it's affected everybody here very deeply.
We really appreciate you taking the time to join us. We really appreciate being able to come and work in your building here for a
day. Anytime you guys want, Jason will be getting the rent check, the rent bill, not the check.
Oh, he'll pay it in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
are you
right.
Kidding me?
It's because we're underground here, it's only about three quarters of the cost of what a suite is. So, hey, it's great seeing both
thank
of you.
You too, Jonathan.
Jonathan, great to visit with you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.